opportunity that we have that really should be our focus of the whole effort, and that's that we're able to sit together and worship our Lord, and how he's already been with us in furnishing us with guests and with the Spirit in the song service. And may we continue to be mindful of our continued need in him as we pray and as we spend a few moments together this evening. I remember not so long ago, it seemed like preaching took a long time. And after I started endeavoring to preach, it seemed like if the Spirit's in it, preaching goes a lot faster sometimes. I've tried to preach before, and that takes a long time. But may the Spirit of the Lord be with us so that these ministers would have liberty to preach, and that the time would go pass by sweetly for all of us as we hear and consider the beautiful truth of the Word of God. Getting ready to come to the church house tonight, we were kind of in a mad rush getting everybody dressed and everything. And one of the conversations we had, Zachary mentioned that we were talking about whether we'd have provisions for breakfast in the morning. We needed to get milk. And Zachary said, yeah, you know, Mom, they've been having a lot more skim milk up at school. And Paul and I both kind of our eyebrows raised, you know, thankful that we've instilled in him such a desire for good health. And he goes, yeah, it's making it a lot harder to dig through down to the chocolate milk. And so that's how it is, kind of. But I feel like in our life, there's a lot of skim milk that we have to dig through to get to the chocolate milk. But we're at that place where we finally arrived. All the skim milk's out of the way. We got the chocolate milk tonight. We have the opportunity to put aside all the things that seem so non-optional, so much that it seems like we have to do. But those things are put aside, and we have the opportunity to worship together tonight. We've been blessed with visitors and elders from two sister churches tonight, and certainly appreciate each one of you that are here with us, and the blessing it is for us, and we trust for you to be here with us. I ask Elder Billy Mosley to go first, followed by Elder Dickie Hoblin-Watts, and trust that you'll pray for these two, that the Lord will bless them and give them what they stand in need of, and that the Lord will give us each a liberty in the gospel tonight, and that we'll be mindful as we go to the Lord in prayer that that he'll prepare and provide for us. We certainly have those who aren't here with us and will want to remember and be mindful of them. Are there any that we need to mention in particular, or that are in a state of health that we need to know about and pray for? All right, so let's be mindful of each and every one that's not here with us. And at the same time, let's not deter from thankfulness for each one that is here and the Lord's abundant blessing upon us. Brother Jimmy Oakley, will you lead us in prayers?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we've looked forward these many days to this meeting here, the time has arrived, Lord, for the opportunity for us to meet together. We thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity, for all those who've turned aside from the things of the world, to stop the busyness for a moment, Lord, to look around and see the blessedness within this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the support of our sister churches, for those officials who've come out tonight. We thank you for the faithful membership that is here. Most assuredly, Lord, we thank you that thou art present with us. Heavenly Father, now as it comes our time to change your order of service and go from the singing to the preaching, Heavenly Father, we pause for just a moment to ask thy blessing upon our activities here in this place. Heavenly Father, we know the labor has gone on before, but now the labor of the ministry has come upon us, Lord, and we ask that you one more time bless thy ministering servants as they come in out before thy people. Heavenly Father, we know that these are just men. We've fellowshipped with them. We've laughed with them. We've worked with them. When it comes to time, Lord, for them to go into the stand, we ask that you bless them as men of God. Heavenly Father, raise them up. Give them the ready recollection of the Scripture. Let them look into heaven itself as if it were to be able to see the things that thou would have us to know. Loose their tongue in such a way, Lord, that they might be able to deliver unto us a message tonight that would find a lodging place in our heart. Something that we'd be able to feed and feast upon in the days to come, Lord, as we face the adversities of this world and might be able to draw strength. Heavenly Father, what we'd ask for these men here in this place, we'd ask for all thy ministering servants, wherever they might preach, across this land, the length and breadth, and even around the world, Lord, wherever thy name is lifted up in spirit and in truth, we'd ask you to be with thy servants there likewise. Heavenly Father, we be mindful of those who are not able to be here tonight due to the affliction of the flesh or the business of their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be near and dear to them tonight. Put it in their mind and put it in their heart. When it comes time to come up to the house in the morning, that thou would have them to come likewise. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. We realize and know that we're sinners, Lord, and we've failed in many ways. But nevertheless, Lord, we plead the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ask him one more time that you forgive us of our sins. Heavenly Father, we've asked that you be mindful also of the leaders of our nation, that you give them wisdom, and Lord, to lead this land in such a way that it would be pleasing unto thy eye, that they would make decisions, Lord, which would be good for the country and good for the people. Heavenly Father, we'd also be mindful of our young men and women who are overseas serving for the sake of freedom. Heavenly Father, guard, guide, and protect them. We all want them to come home safely, but nevertheless, Lord, let them serve valiantly with courage. Let them serve in such a way that they'd be proud of their service. Heavenly Father, now go with us through the rest of this evening, through the rest of our lives. Finally, in heaven, save us, but we ask this blessing and favors in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, you know, I remember back under Elder J. Rao, we would stand around and talk a lot, and he talked about having meetings like this. And of course, he was a working man, and he knew what Friday night was like. And he said, sometime it takes Friday night to get past the flesh as much as we can. Tonight, I feel like I'm in need of some of that, and I look forward to the preaching tonight. I understand one glass of water means we're going to have one preacher. So I really do intend just to maybe introduce a subject and then look forward to Elder Dickey coming to us tonight. May the Lord richly bless him and raise him up to preach the unsearchable riches of the gospel and declare the Lord's glory before his people, that we might in some way of our life here offer our body as a living sacrifice unto God, who deserves every breath that we breathe, because every breath we breathe is given by the Lord of glory. We wouldn't be here, Brother Dick, if it wasn't for the Lord. So we understand ourselves about that. I want to bring before you just for a moment in the last verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. A very strong statement here is placed by the Apostle Paul, after he's talked about putting on the armor. He said, then let us walk honestly in the day, and not in rioting, drunkenness, not chambering of wantonness, not of strife or envy. And that's not going to do much good. But then he says this. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Embodied in that statement is a huge task for the child of God. You say, well, I've reached. No, you haven't reached there yet. We haven't got there yet. We haven't successfully and permanently put on Christ yet in the flesh. We have to work at putting on Christ. And we can find something about that putting on Christ. But in the Philippian letter, it said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. What kind of mind was that? He came not to make himself of any reputation. He wasn't the kind of man that sought vain glory, although he was full of grace and full of truth and full of glory. He was glory manifested in the flesh to his people. My friends, he was God manifested in the flesh. The glory of God was embodied in him. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But yet he went among his people in concern and honestly, my friends, putting himself behind them. He put their needs even ahead of himself, even to the most degree. We could spend a long time talking about just how much the Lord did for us, and it's shown in the way that he dealt with people that came among him. Those that were sick and those publicans and sinners that nobody else wanted to be around, that's where he was. Not because they were sinners and publicans, but I believe they were repenting sinners and publicans. They were those that sought him for what he really was. They saw through the veil and could see this man was different. This man is the Christ. We see something in Him, that is, He is the Messiah. We've been promised the Messiah, and now we recognize this one as the Master. The Master, my friend, that loved us. And now we find that He has given Himself for us. But we go and we find Paul here as he talks to the Roman brethren, and no doubt to the church, even today, we still need to be reminded that we're to put on Christ. We're to put on His attributes. But I'll tell you, friends, you'll not be able to put on Christ unless you take off something else. We've got to take some things off tonight as we begin this meeting. At this point, it's a good time, Brother Jimmy, to take some self-examination of ourselves and to see what we're really like. We need to see ourselves as the bankrupt sinners before God, having nothing to claim and glorifying ourselves. Let no man glory in the flesh. But we've come here to see Jesus for just a little while, that we might be near the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we might hear from His throne from heaven, and it might flow out to us, Brother Dickey, as water from the great throne of God that feeds our souls, that drives away all the thirst. But my friends, the water that we drink this will never thirst. This is precious water that's been given to us. How easy it is for us to not consider ourselves, but go on thinking that we know have need of nothing. We kind of get like Laodicea sometimes. We're rich and have need of nothing. My friends, that's not just monetarily. But Brother Mark, if we get to thinking that I don't need to change anything about myself, then I'm just like that. I think I'm satisfied where I'm at. I don't need to change. But my friend, as I take a good look at myself in the mirror of the perfect law of liberty, I find myself wanting. And now it's time, my friends, that we put on Christ, considering ourselves of what we are and considering what He is. He is the very Lamb of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. And I'll tell you, He's still the God, the second person of the triune Godhead. And He's seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. If we didn't believe that, Brother Jimmy, there's no purpose for what you just did. We have no advocate if He's not seated at the right hand of God. But we do have someone that hears us and He cares for us. And listen, my friends, as Paul went on, he began to talk about considering your brother, him that is weak in the flesh, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, for one believeth that he may eat all things. He goes down and he talks, that's not what I want to talk about, but we come on down, and starting in the 15th chapter, he says, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to the pleasing of ourselves. My friends, there's a lot of folks that will give, and they give a lot of great charity. But I suspect, my friends, that much of it's given with a desire for something to return in reward. But here he says, let us bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to the pleasing of ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. My friends, we have no better example than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was God manifesting in the flesh, had all things in the power of his hands. He speak and it's done. He command and it stands fast, but yet I find him serving others. I find him saying this, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. There, my friends, is our example that we're to work at this very weekend. And as we begin here, my friends, let us come with the idea and the thought and the realization that we're not to be served, but we're to serve one another. And in thus doing, we serve the Lord of glory. And that's how we're to serve the Lord, is by serving one another. Considering those that are weak, bear them up. Look to their good. How much peace we would find if we would do such as that. Let me go to one more place and then I'll step aside. In the 6th chapter of the Galatian letter, let's see how Paul ends the letter here, pointing the brethren to a higher plane of thought, a better way, my friends. And certainly at Galatia, they had many that were at fault. If you wanted a place to go pick some folks, Galatia might have been a good place, because there was a lot of folks that were falling away. A lot of them were weak there. One place he said, I'm surprised how quickly you're drawn away, how quickly you fall away. You receive the word of God. You know what? That's pretty convicting, Brother Mike. Many times I find myself just enthused with the things of God, and then all of a sudden I turn around and I'm so down and out and in doubting and fearing and unbelieving. And that is, my friends, the great sin that does so easily beset us, is unbelief. Doubting the very power of the Lord. But he says here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, he's nothing. When he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I ask you, how quickly can we deceive ourselves in things that, and it's all due to our weakness. We deceive ourselves to think that we're something when we're nothing. But he said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Yes, my friends, we can bear one another's burdens, but here he also says, let every man bear his own burden. So I'm not to sit here tonight and hope that you bear all my burden. I've got some burden I need to bear too. But how much better it is when we bear one another's burdens together, and all of that looking to the Lord for that strength to bear one another's burdens. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I ask you, friends, how many times have we violated that one scripture right there? That we'll turn on our own folks faster than we will upon those of unbelief. We violate that. We need to take a good look at ourselves tonight. As we go forward in this meeting, if we understand that we're bankrupt sinners and we're nothing, yea, less than nothing, but yet loved by an everlasting love of a God that cannot change, and even though we're nothing, yea, less than nothing, the price for you is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not sobering, I don't know what it'd take. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if we faint not. Let us do good even to them of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I've written with my own hand, and many as desire to have fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution. I suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. So where's their motivation? It's in themselves. It's in what they can gain, what they can brag, what they can boast in. My friends, I hope that we've come here for no reason for that we boast in something for ourselves, but that we honestly, truly take a good look at ourselves, put on Christ, take off the old man, put on Christ. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ. Consider one another higher than ourselves, and my friends, we'll reap if we faint not. Do good unto the household of faith. Pray for one another. Pray for Brother Dickey tonight. And Brother Dickey, y'all step aside. Come here.